Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Praying for our city and our world. You'll notice if you've been following the prayer guide that underneath, at the along the bottom of those pages, it's not just ways to pray for our city, but it's praying for various continents of the world. Tonight, I would like to take you on a journey through Scripture and put in front of all of us a vision of the glory of God among the nations. This is His ultimate heart for us. Everything we do is planting seeds towards that day when, as we sang tonight, in that second worship song, all the earth will shout His praise. And so God's heart is to reveal His glory among the nations. And we pray to that end. We send our best and brightest. We send our sons and our daughters. And we go ourselves to the ends of the earth in anticipation, not only to in this age preach the gospel, but in anticipation of the age to come when Jesus will return and rule the nations and His glory will cover the earth. I want to start on that journey with you through Scripture tonight by picking up a verse that we talked about last week when we talked about what the Word of God teaches us about praying for leaders. And it's some of our favorite verse. For some of us, it's our favorite Bible verse. It's Jeremiah 29:11. And God there says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that verse, that truth can stand for every one of us no matter what context we're in. But that was written by Jeremiah through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's speaking promise to His people, future, when they had lost everything and they'd been taken captive to Babylon. They had lost the promised land. They had what God had promised Abraham, that land had been forfeited because of their disobedience or idolatry, their constant tendency to turn their back on God. So the land had been forfeited. This was supposedly and possibly the end of Israel's history, although they were clinging on to hope. They were clinging on to hope, and this is actually why Jeremiah has to write them. Because in this letter, of which chapter 29 is a part, in this letter to the captives in Babylon, he says, I know that some of your prophets won't face reality, and they're saying, you'll only be here a short time in Babylon, and then God's going to take you back. And he's trying to tell them, actually, it's going to be a long time. You are going to be in Babylon for 70 years. It had been under the law of Moses, the provision, the call of God to every 7 years, let your fields lie fallow for a year. This recharged the nutrients in the soil. Otherwise, they would just kind of starve the earth of nutrients with crop after crop, and they didn't have the kind of fertilizers and nutritional additions that we can put into fields today. And so it was ecologically good. It sustained the agricultural provision for the people of Israel by giving the land a Sabbath once every 7 years and not planting on it. Well, they had not done there. It had been 70 years of Sabbaths that they had forsaken. And God says, as with all His principles in our lives, I know how to get that back. So He says, corresponding to the number of Sabbaths you've robbed me for those many years, for the number of Sabbath years you've robbed me for those years, you will be in Babylon 70 years. So He says, unlike Jeremiah writes them, unlike what the optimistic prophets among you are trying to say, you're going to be there a long time in Babylon. So here He calls God's people to begin praying for a city not their own. Just before verse 11 in chapter 29, back in verse 7 of the same chapter, he said, not only are you going to be there 70 years, but also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This was not their native land. This was a foreign nation, a foreign culture. But all of a sudden, at the blackest, darkest, most hopeless time in Israel's history, God calls his people to pray for a city not their own. He said, pray for that city, Babylon. Pray for the Lord for it. This was an idol-worshiping city. This was a city that was responsible for all kinds of atrocities. But he said, they've taken you captive, and you're going to be there 70 years, and I want you to pray for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And here we begin to see a hint of something that is so amazing about God's heart, not just even in the Old Testament for his own people Israel, but that all the nations would be blessed. So here he's calling them to plant the seed of faith and believing prayer into a city not their own, a city that's located in the present-day Iraq. In verse 13, in that same chapter, then he comes to 11, he said, because I do know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and hope, not to harm you. And then in verse 13, he said, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. But the context is that not only will you find me for yourselves, but through you, there is a blessing that will come to the nations. In fact, this is what God said to Abraham way back. He said to Abraham when he first came to Abraham, way back in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Remember, he calls Abraham, and he talks to Abraham about being a blessing to all the nations. Now, Abraham was old, and his wife was old, and they had no children. And God said, I'm going to give you a son, and through him, all the nations are going to be blessed. Look how he says that in verse 4 of Genesis 26. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands throughout your offspring, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. How many nations on earth will be blessed? All nations on earth will be blessed through your offspring. Of course, the Jewish people come through the offspring of Abraham. But he says all the nations are going to be blessed through your offspring. You're going to be a blessing to the nations. Abraham, of course, has to say, Lord, there's one small problem with this. I'm very old. My wife's very old. She's barren. We have not had children. How can this happen? And of course, God miraculously gave them Isaac when they were probably in their 90s or almost 100 years old. How many know that's a miracle right there? Because God is serious about blessing the nations. And so he does it in an incredibly miraculous way, as if to underscore this son and his descendants are no mistake. They are here by divine providence and ordination, by the sovereign will of God, so that somehow his glory could rest among all the nations. Over in Galatians 3, verse 8, after Jesus died and rose again, because Jesus was that great descendant of Abraham. And here Galatians 3:8 interprets what God said back there in Genesis 26 to Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, Paul writes, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed through you. So he's saying that was Scripture foreseeing the gospel of Jesus Christ that would come not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. You take Jews and Gentiles, you've got everybody on earth covered. The redeeming work of Christ covers every people group. And God said to Abraham, I'm not giving the covenant to you and to Israel in the Old Testament just for you, but I'm giving it so all the nations could be blessed. So even at the time when it seemed like Israel had totally forfeited all the promises of God, and they're in exile in Babylon, and you see God saying, pray for your city that it may go well for you, because something about you and your deposit will be a blessing even to places like Babylon, so that you can thrive for the 70 years that you are there. And then I'll bring you back from captivity. But God had even a bigger plan, that eventually, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, all the nations will be blessed through Christ. This is part of the gospel. that right now people's lives can be changed. That in turn alters the direction of communities and cities and nations. And then someday Jesus is coming again, and all the nations will worship him and bow before him. And that's the prophetic fulfillment of all of this. Look with me at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. This is a picture of a worship scene around the throne of God in heaven. And they sang a new song, saying, verse 9, you, and it's clear from the previous verses, they are singing to Jesus, the Lamb. You, Jesus, the Lamb of sacrifice, you, Jesus, are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased God for God persons from some tribes, no, every tribe, and every language and people and nation. So right there in heaven, you see the triumph of the gospel, not just for the Jewish people, but you see the triumph of the gospel and the glory of God for all the nations of the earth. This is it. All the nations of the earth. In Habakkuk 2, verse 14, that Old Testament prophet, he said, for the earth someday will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Someday. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 2. Someday, when Jesus comes again, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sometimes I see on TV people just railing against faith, railing against Jesus. Sometimes I've had people just mock me and make fun of me because I'm a believer. How could you be so stupid to believe that stuff? And that's always a great verse to quote in the back of your mind. Someday, someday, your cursing mouth is going to have to confess that you are wrong and Jesus truly is Lord of the Lords and King of the Kings. And his name is above every name. I want to tell you, Jesus is going to wrap it up. It's not going to be an environmental catastrophe. It's not going to be a nuclear holocaust that puts the period on human history. Jesus is going to come. And the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And this is why, ultimately, we have our mandate. Part of our mandate is because people, lost people, will spend eternity without Christ, without God. That's hell. And Jesus came to die in their place so that they can spend eternity with him. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we preach to people. We send our best and brightest all over the world. We have prayer meetings. We have pray for our missionary of the week every Sunday morning because people are lost. But I want to tell you something even beyond people being lost. The glory of God wants to be revealed among the nations. God's glory among the nations. And that's why it's our mandate. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to a few of the nations. No. This gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said, will be preached on the world, into all the world, as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And so in Matthew 28, verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's why he has the right to come back again and clean up and finish what he started when he came the first time and died for our sins and rose again. He said, now all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. So go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, he's saying, my ultimate heart, the promise to Abraham that was through your descendants, Jesus Christ, all the nations will be blessed. The prophet Habakkuk foresaw when the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The apostle Paul had it right, someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Meanwhile, Jesus gave us a job to do. Because his passion is his glory among all the nations. That's His heart. And we're seeding into His heart. We're investing in His priority, in His heart, when we say, Lord, that's my heart. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes for the gospel to go to every nation. We've got a ways to go. Right now in our world, 2.5 billion with the B people in our world today are so beyond gospel access that other than maybe picking something up on the internet or something once in a while, they will likely, 2.5 billion people in our world, will likely never personally meet a Christian their entire lives. They are in places where the gospel as yet has no access and believers aren't allowed to live. But all I know is that Jesus is going to break through. This is not our time to stop praying and stop sending our best and brightest to go to every unreached people group in the world. There are 7,000 unreached people groups in our world. And Jesus said this gospel will be preached to every nation, then the end shall come. I'm excited. There are places in the world that are seeing powerful moves of God like we're not seeing in America today. And they're beginning to partner with what America always has done, and that's send missionaries. And they're partnering with us. I just believe that God has an agenda to reach all the nations. And it's prelude to His ultimate destiny that His glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. His glory. In America, the average evangelical Christian, if they know it's going to be a mission service, they may semi-give themselves permission not to attend because that's kind of boring and doesn't meet my needs. Mercy. God help us. God forgive us. If we settle for anything less than what's on God's heart, and that's His glory among all the nations, we have missed His heart. But I want to tell you, Jesus said, I didn't finish the Great Commission. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. Go, or literally in the Greek, going, make disciples. That's our mandate of all the nations. And then He says, and if you do, I will be with you to the ends of the earth. That's the greatest promise I know, that He's going to be with me. I don't want to be anywhere where His heart and His presence is not. And increasingly, I just believe God's going to throw heaven behind believers who pray into the nations and churches that do what it takes to reach the nations. I used to live in Toronto, Ontario. I grew up in Canada, some of you know. Moved to the United States when my dad's company moved us to Minnesota. But I had been the previous 5 years in Toronto, Canada. There's a famous church there called the People's Church, pastored by Oswald J. Smith, one of the most famous missionary pastors of the 20th century. In fact, they were so passionate about missions, I've heard that they gave 70% of their budget to missions. They let their own sanctuary go threadbare so that they could give every dollar they could to the gospel of Christ. I actually was in People's Church as a young teenager once when Billy Graham came to speak for some kind of event with Pastor Smith. And it's an amazing church. Oswald Smith, Pastor Smith, writes this. There is no reason why we should have churches unless they are reaching out to those who have never heard. We should have, he said, evangelized the world. Otherwise, we have no grounds for our existence as a church. Our Lord's post-resurrection commands were given to obeyed, to be obeyed. We must put first things first, the last thing He commanded us, to go and make disciples of all the nations. So He says we must either go ourselves as missionaries or send out substitutes. That's our call. His passion, that His glory be revealed amongst all the nations. This is what Abraham's seed was destined to do, Jesus Christ. And someday, around that throne, people of every tribe, every nation, every tongue are going to worship Him and say, worthy are You to to take the seals in your hand that end human history and give place to your glory among all the nations. Because by your blood, you have purchased people from every tribe and every language. That's his heart, his glory. That was the sacrifice of his life and its purpose, his glory among all the nations. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me, please?